A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
And you have a case today.
I do. This went a different way. I said, Melissa, do you have anything in mind? And she was like, funny you should say that, because I actually got a request from one of our listeners. Here you go. She handed it right over and I looked into it and I was like, all right, I'm in.
So is this the one from TikTok?
This is not that one.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. It is that one from TikTok.
Okay. I know that you love a good TikTok story. So I'm interested.
Do I? All right. Well, I didn't actually, now that you mentioned that, I should have followed up on all of the TikToks,
it's
but
fine.
I didn't. I listened to that particular video. Then I went and searched and there isn't a whole lot of information. There's news reports and a lot of interviews that I saw were with mom, and it looked like the articles that I read following that were like quotes from that particular news footage. So I was like, oh, this all stems from one place. I'm getting a little bit nervous. So I looked at YouTube. There's nothing. That sucked. And then I found a podcast that covered her. Now, it's the Vanish podcast, and you know I want to give credit where credit's due. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of my information came from that podcast. Now, with due respect to this creator, there was a lot of content in that podcast episode, and I intentionally left out a lot of details because I'm not going to take someone else's hard work of getting in touch with the family, having the family trust that person, and all of the things for me to take all of it. So if you have heard it or if you go and listen to it after, I want you guys to be like, oh, Amy left this out or whatever. I want to kind of like steer you towards hearing from the family and friends of this person that's missing. So, I mean, I hope you understand that.
Totally understand that.
I know that. Okay, perfect. So with that being said, I tried to elongate on the story. And yes, I took a little bit of stuff. Other than that, I had like two other sources. But I certainly didn't take some really great detail that the family had intentionally. So the person that I'm going to tell you about that is missing still today is Danielle Bell. Danielle was born on July 28th of 1987. She grew up in or around Pensacola, Florida. Danielle's parents had two other children. Both were older than her, so Danielle was the baby. And she was the baby quite significantly. She was approximately, I think her sister said, 6 years younger. So you have to realize that that means when Danielle was still an elementary school student or middle school student, her sister's launching, like, into the world. At that point, she's pretty much an only child.
Right.
Family life wasn't great. It's hard to say what that means. I heard abuse, verbal abuse. But beyond that, not really sure. But it wasn't great. But Danielle was a personable, popular girl at school who was a cheerleader her whole life and at least appeared to a lot of people to be happy. And she did okay in school. Another little segue is my approach was to expand on some mental health stuff a little bit. That's the therapist in me. And I thought that that was how I could also kind of explain some stuff to you guys as well.
I love that.
Like I said, she did okay until middle school, which is also when family life unraveled even more than what we know. Like I said, Danielle was the only child in the household, and her parents divorced. It appears as though Danielle's mother struggled and was using drugs. So my takeaway from this early experience is that even when her parents were together, I mean, the marriage was likely breaking down, and they're both struggling. And what happens when two caregivers are struggling? Well, there's not a whole lot you have left to give to your children. You're very focused on surviving your marriage. I suspect, and this is kind of a guess, just based on my experience working with families, is that a child's needs, attention, just the admiration that you get from parents being really involved, participating with you, you know, things like that, their investment in your life isn't quite all the way there. I want to say that I'm sure her parents were doing the best that they could. I get it. Everyone's like, Amy, she was using drugs and stuff like that. I have the mentality of everyone's doing the best that they can with what they have, and that includes people using drugs. I don't think this means that parents don't love their kids. I think things get in the way, and they can't access that loving part of themselves to be there for their child, to care for their child, things like that. They're so overwhelmed with taking care of themselves, almost like you're going down on a plane and the parents like trying to mask themselves first and they can't get to you. Nevertheless, you know, it doesn't matter what the intent was or whatever. Danielle did suffer for this, or at least it seems to be. So I think Danielle likely got a lot of what she needed from peers. She was popular and stuff, from what I understand. So I think that she got some validation from being liked. I mean, people give attention. People appear interested in your life and what you're doing and how awesome you are. And, you know, this isn't that unusual. By the end of middle school, Danielle hung out with people that validated her, like I said. But these people weren't great people who weren't appropriate. That's not even a judgment. It wasn't. One of those people was Alfredo Sanchez, who was 24. So let me tell you, in case I didn't, you know, she's finishing middle school. She's about 14 years old. Child. I don't care how you want to phrase it, inappropriate. So the thing that makes this almost concrete information, not disputed information, is that, you know, she's hanging out with Alfredo, and it seemed like it was well-known knowledge to a lot of people that they had more than a friendship, and that it was sexual. And I'll remind you that I tried to find a dozen different ways to say their relationship was sexual to stress that it's like not, because it's statutory rape. It's like sexual assault.
Right.
She can't fully consent. She's a child. So I don't want to call it a relationship, or I don't want to call it a sexual relationship. That doesn't resonate with me as a sexual relationship. It's
so
statutory rape.
How old was he?
24.
So I just happened to Google what the Florida age of consent is.
Please don't say 15.
Florida's age of consent is 18. Although Florida has a Romeo and Juliet statue. Under the statute, a person is 24 years old or older and engages in sexual activity with a person of 16 or 17, this is considered a second-degree felony.
I would like to know what this law was I didn't give you the year yet, in 2001, because I have a funny feeling that things have changed. Maybe not in Florida, I don't know, but I know that some states had age of consent 14, 15 years old. So, before I move on any further, I just kind of want to address something that one family member was saying in the interviews on the Vanish podcast. And I don't fault her for this. Actually, most of society believes this. And this is kind of how I just think society thinks. So, you know, like this relative said, she got to an age where she was starting to rebel. And she was boy crazy and things like that. And my thought was, again, no disrespect to this person, she said these things, I guess, are typical, normal things. And I want to remind people, like, it might be common, but it is not normal.
Well, hold on. I want to say that being 14 and boy crazy is normal. Being 14 hanging out with a 24-year-old and having a sexual relationship is not normal.
And I disagree. I don't think... It depends what you define as boy crazy, frankly. But I do disagree. I don't think that, although common, hear my words, although common, not normal. You don't have to rebel against your family. It's not necessarily a part of development. And I don't think that everyone is boy crazy. Or let's just be, let's expand on that a little bit. Crazy for someone that you're sexually or romantically interested in. I say that because I don't want it to, I think it all is rooted in mental health, right? And this is not necessarily the what you can expect every teenager to do. And why they might go missing and all of that. It all matters. So anyway, that's my little spiel about that. Back to Alfredo and Danielle. Not only was this quote-unquote relationship known, this appeared to be Alfredo's MO. There's more details on this later, but this is not Alfredo's first time engaging with people that are younger than him, by far.
Shocker.
But this actually set Danielle up to be surrounded by more less than desirable and inappropriate people. Because of his age, she's also hanging out with not just him, which is bad, but many more people like him, his age, right? The people he's hanging out with. As much as maybe Danielle fell through the cracks, perhaps in terms of her family and them being aware at the beginning of all this, would they have tried to end the relationship? I mean, I don't really know if they could, if it had gotten that far, right? She's already roped in. She's fallen for this person. Would maybe mom or dad have tried? It seems like of the two parents, dad was most concerned with Danielle's whereabouts, who she was with, what she was doing, so maybe. Toward Danielle's disappearance, Danielle suspected she was pregnant and disclosed to her mother and told her mother that it was Alfredo's. She begged her mom not to say anything and said Alfredo would kill her. Now, I don't think anyone else knew. It sounds like this all came from mom. And, I mean, I have no reason to not believe mom. Apparently, Danielle had a doctor's appointment to perhaps confirm in a week or two. But also, no one else had that information. And, I mean, I don't know if Danielle's mom had a history of lying or mishearing things or whatever, but that's all we know. Danielle went to a party on September 30th, 2001. It seemed as if there was some party hopping going on. And like I told you at the beginning, the family gives a lot of detail about the evening and what they've learned over the years. But I'm not going to tell you that because basically the gist, she was party hopping and we know she was there at the first couple of parties or first party. I'm going to skip to where she was last seen. The most important detail was that Danielle went to a party at a man named Robert Bassett Jr.'s house. He was also an adult. He was around the age of 23 at the time, I believe.
Why are these people letting little girls into their party?
They obviously have a thing for them.
Like, I just think about, like, when I was 23, if someone would have brought a 14-year-old to one of our parties, and it wasn't someone's, like, little sibling that they were babysitting, you know what I mean? Like a weird, I couldn't imagine that.
Well, because you don't have...
I'm not a pedophile? Yeah, got it.
This particular mental illness.
Yeah, got it.
It's important to note that Robert had a long criminal history. This includes him sexually assaulting young girls and a whole bunch of other things, but all related to inappropriateness with young people. Girls, to be
awesome.
Completely honest.
Sounds like mm-hmm. He's a stand-up guy.
Exactly. Articles state, witnesses saw her and left her behind. The family had stated that they heard that she got into a car with two other people. There was Robert himself that said, oh, she left with a girlfriend and her boyfriend. Additionally, some reports say that she was extremely drunk and Danielle never arrived home. Now, these differing reports are very important because of basically what happens. So initially when police were called, which was the next day, she's 14, police treated this as a runaway. It took a long time to actually investigate. Alfredo's story seemed not to line up. He actually left town for a little while. When he came back, essentially nothing happened. But he kind of like, even though he was in focus, Robert actually was more in focus than anybody else. First of all, Robert had said this particular friend that she had, Danielle left with, and her boyfriend. It's argued that Robert threatened many witnesses at the party. He has said to the point he never even had a party that night. He has made wild theories on the internet, threatened people on the internet. Every time Danielle is brought up, he gets very angry. He has said things like, I bet that she was thrown into a wild hog pit and she is she's dead.
What? That's a common thing.
Yes, like
that's where I would go. You know, that's exactly what I would think. I would be like, wow, I bet you she got thrown in a hog pit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Robert's house was searched. Now, I think that the house itself was not searched. I could be wrong about that. But they emptied a septic tank and looked there. We don't know the results of that. And basically searched around the area of the house. Nothing was found. Police are kind of tight-lipped. And basically all of this happened because there's been a newer investigator on the case. But otherwise, those first 7-ish years after she was missing, almost nothing was done whatsoever. I think Mom in one of the news reports has said, there was a long period of time she would get zero calls from anybody about anything or any developments in the case.
So while Amy was saying that, I was asking my husband what he thought about the hog pit. And he, first of all, he laughed and said, why is that the option? It would take me years and years because I would never think of that. Which is precisely mm-hmm. my point.
Right. So Alfredo actually did get charged with crimes against Danielle. Not for what we're thinking, but the sexual crimes. Oh, and I don't know exactly how they convicted on that because Danielle wasn't here to testify or anything.
She disclosed to her
but
mom.
It sounds like, or I think that there's so many people that in the podcast, it literally said either saw or heard of their sexual involvement. I don't understand that at all, but it doesn't sound like they misspoke. I just wondered what that unfortunately looked like playing out. I don't know. So anyway, it sounds like there's a lot of people that knew this was going on, which may have been enough. And Robert, as far as I know, continues to like badger people about if they bring him up. I think he did get in trouble for threatening witnesses. But so far, no one has come forward and the family really believes that someone knows something.
Well, yeah, she's in a hog pit.
I mean, he might know something, but that's all we have. I mean,
can we just talk about the fact that she's 14 and all we have is that she's missing?
Well, that's kind of where I was going, is that the family thinks that she probably is deceased, I think. At least I believe Mom mentioned that in an interview. But yeah, we don't have any information, no good leads, no solid evidence, no pieces of clothing left behind, no cell phone at the time. So no cameras, no cell phone pings, all of that stuff. And let's see, it's been 22 years, I believe, this year. 22 or 23, excuse me. That she'll be missing.
So she didn't run. I don't think she ran away.
Well, let me tell you what the theories are. There's runaway because that's what the police used, right, for a little while. There is foul play, at the hands of Alfredo, at the hands of Robert, at the hands of both. Somehow, there is, did Danielle OD or pass out drunk and pass away at a party and everyone is essentially trying to hide that she passed away? Is there a possibility of sex trafficking? And that's basically it.
Okay, so I hate you.
As you should.
But I hate Robert and Alfredo more. Can we just make it a thing that if you are in your 20s, you're not partying with little girls?
I happen to have someone in my life who's 21 years old, and they have said, I don't even have a desire to hang out with like an 18-year-old. We're not on the same playing field anymore.
Agreed. The age difference becomes less significant the older you get.
Yes, and you are an actual legal adult. There is less developmental stuff developing at that time. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Your brain is developing until you're 25 years old. Just let that sit there for a moment. Simmer, marinate. So I don't think she ran away. I mean,
I don't either. So what are our other choices?
I mean, well, hang on. I don't think she did, even though finding out that you're pregnant at 14 is maybe a huge deal. We don't know what choices that she was going to make, but she hadn't even confirmed it with the doctor yet. So you'd think if she was going to run away, she'd at least confirm it and make sure it's actually, you know, what's going to happen before you make choices to run away. On the other hand, could she have an Alfredo assisted her? Selfishly or not, you know, like, I need her out of here so I don't get in trouble. But could he have assisted her in getting away? And that's why he was gone for a significant period of time after her disappearance. Maybe. But that also leads us to have to believe that there would be sightings. Not always, but I mean, usually hear about sightings.
Well, do we know if he knew that she thought she was pregnant?
No, I don't know that. The only person that I've ever heard that was able to confirm that Danielle actually said that was her mother.
And Alfredo was at this party.
So I had the same question too, and I listened to the podcast over again. I read the articles and the Reddit over again, and I can't find anywhere that explicitly says that he was at that party too.
That makes it even worse.
Because I definitely, when I first listened to everything, I was like, yeah, he was there. And I'm really glad I looked it up because I couldn't find anywhere else that confirmed that again. So I'm like, oh, jeepers, I made this up.
If he wasn't there, could he have been the one to pick her up, though?
In theory, that's a possibility. But no one saw it. Many witnesses say that they last saw her there. And they were leaving while she was still there at Robert's house.
And what does Robert say? That she left with a friend?
I mean, that's one of his stories. He also said he didn't have a party.
Okay, well, he doesn't have a party. I worry less about because he didn't want to get in trouble.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So, I mean, I've been at a party in high school where the cops showed up and the person whose house it was, the answered the door and was like, no, I'm not having a party. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I mean, they clearly saw all the cars, right? Like, they're not dumb. But I'm gonna give him that. But where did the hog pen come from?
This sounds like stuff he engages with on social media or something. Like, he just throws these, such as that one. Or I don't even know how many times he's done it. I've just heard this one referenced.
I hate that him and Alfredo are separate.
Yeah, because I have to wonder, like, what if they're friends? Because they're close in age, right? And Danielle would be the link between them. It's not unfair to think that they may have met before or maybe even because of Alfredo. But what if Alfredo had Robert do something?
We don't know how she knew Robert.
We don't know how she knows Robert. For all we know, maybe they didn't. Maybe she was just there because she was like, hey, there's this older guy that's having a party and he gives us booze.
But how did she find out about him?
That's unclear.
So everyone left. She stays with him.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
in theory,
roughly, it's very, very hazy here. That's one belief. Or that's what some witnesses at one time have said.
And where was Alfredo when she vanished? Do we know that?
We don't know where he went, but he had at the time, I guess, according to the Charlie Project, that his female cousin backed up his story that perhaps he was there. And she later, quote, recanted and said he had not been with her. The Charlie Project goes on to say that Sanchez has not been implicated in Danielle's disappearance, however. But I will say the next paragraph of the Charlie Project says, Danielle's disappearance remains classified a runaway, but foul play is now suspected in her case.
Well, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Although, Amy, you and I both know, like, if she is pregnant, the highest risk to her death is homicide.
This is very true. I just watched a Dateline The Last Day episode about this very same thing. A young girl found out she was pregnant by her on-again, off-again boyfriend. That very night, he asked her, after she said, I'm pregnant, he said, come and see me. I have a surprise for you. She thinks she's getting engaged. And he ends up murdering her. And later confesses, so we know he really did. That's a perfect example. He's like, I didn't want a kid. I didn't want that life. You have to also think about someone that doesn't want that, but also could go to jail because they had taken advantage of someone. I can't call it a sexual relationship. I just can't do it. I'm trying to, like, spit it out here, and I can't do it.
Okay, I think, unfortunately, Robert is the one we need to look at. Although Alfredo is a terrible human being, I don't know that he had anything to do with it.
And I kind of agree, but you know what that means? It means she's surrounded by a million shiesty characters.
I feel like once you're not a good judge of character, you're not a good judge of character.
And that's why 14-year-olds aren't adults, because parents are supposed to be helping them to make decisions on the characters of others. And let me just also preface this with, like, I'm not blaming the parents. Their struggles may have contributed, but it's never the fault of anybody but the person that is murdering someone or taking advantage of another person.
Oh, for sure. So I think I have to land on this Robert guy did something.
So you want to write off sex trafficking? Well, actually, you didn't. So I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yes. No, I think that I just want to be clear. But I don't think that when men get rejected, they immediately lash out and kill. Right? I think that that's like the rare case, but that's where we tend to hang out because this is what we do for a discussion. But mm-hmm. Like, think about the Brian Koberger case. We're finding out that one of them ignored him.
Mm.
And then he lashed out and killed four people like a crazy person. So if this Robert guy knew that she was susceptible to advances from older men and came on to her, but she was like, whoa, 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 I'm actually seeing someone. I actually might be pregnant. Who knows what would have happened?
I think that's the strongest possibility. I give a little weight to, could she have gotten so high or drunk by what these adults were feeding her? I give it a little
weight. And overdosed on her own and then they disposed of her?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just as likely.
I think maybe a little bit less likely. Robert has a history of assaulting women and taking advantage and essentially raping young girls.
Robert does or Alfredo does?
Robert. Well, they both do, but Robert does. He has that in his history.
Right. Right. They both do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to land on Robert. I think that something happened and it didn't go the way he wanted, and she's little and inexperienced and immature, and everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, unfortunately, it sounds like you think she's deceased.
I do.
I unfortunately land pretty much exactly where you do.
Well, Amy, thank you for ruining my evening.
People are going to start to say, Amy, Melissa, why do you do this when every week you tell each other that you've ruined their
day? It's because it's so important to keep telling these stories.
It is. And I'm sorry, but it is for people that walk around in this world and I think generally see the, I think we all see the good, right? Because that's, otherwise we wouldn't be able to survive emotionally if we saw it as all bad.
Right.
It is fascinating in the worst way to try and figure out what motivates people to do awful things. And maybe if we think that we can figure it out, we'll feel safer in this world.
And there's Amy being a therapist.
I guess so.
Sorry, no, guys. I mean, it's important. All right, so we'll open it up. Everyone tell us what your thoughts are.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. It's just crazy. And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Thanks. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.